Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, as I'm sure everyone knows by now, my mom and Tim are still away, so I'll be handling the entire service again, like I did last week, and do a more simplified worship service since we have no piano music. I figure what we'll do is we'll sing a few choruses. But I would like to open with a prayer before we get started. Father in heaven, I thank thee that we have another opportunity to come before you, that we have another opportunity to worship you, and that we have another opportunity to study thy holy word. We ask that thou wouldst provide over this entire service and be here with us today. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first chorus I'd like to go to is number 40 in the chorus book, Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. The Lord is great. I have many fond memories of singing that chorus as a child, and I know my dad would often sing it as well. It's one of my favorites. The next chorus I'd like to go to is number 67, Jesus is a Miracle Worker. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Praise the Lord. Jesus truly is a miracle worker. Glory to God. Well, as long as we're on this page, we've got some good ones on here. Let's go down to number 69, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness. You gave me gladness. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. You took my sadness and you gave me gladness. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I do. I do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And he can take your sadness away in an instant. I've experienced that myself, and he definitely gives us gladness. Praise the Lord. That's a good chorus. Well, as long as we're on this page, why not do 70? If you believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And there truly is not a trouble or a care that the Lord can't relieve. Glory to God. All you have to do is believe. You must believe. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we look across the page and go to 72, for he is Lord. For he is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For he is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For he is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord, he is Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, if you'd like to go to the next page in your course book, we can sing number 77, In the Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise the Lord. There is victory in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I guess we can go now to number 79. That's a good one. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy, to the Lord. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy, to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Doug, could I have you that? Thanks. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and these offerings. We ask for thy wisdom in how these funds should be used. We ask that thou wouldst bless the giver and bless those who are unable to give as well. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And before we get into the word, I'd like to sing one more chorus, number 52, Standing on the Rock of Ages. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages, standing on a solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages, standing on a solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages, standing on a solid rock. Praise the Lord. And He is our solid rock. Glory to God. Well, I wanted to sing that chorus because it kind of ties in with the message today. And the message will be titled, The Rock of Our Salvation. And we're going to do a study on our rock, our Lord, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we get into the Word, I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for another opportunity to open Thy holy word and to study Thy scriptures. We ask that Thou wouldest inspire us. We ask that Thou wouldest move upon us. We ask that Thy Spirit would be here today with us, Lord. We ask that Thy word would sink down deeply into our heart and that the enemy would not be able to rob it away. We ask that Thou wouldest give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Now, the rock of our salvation. And the first portion of Scripture I'd like to go to today is Exodus chapter 17. The children of Israel were in quite a dire situation at this point. They were in the wilderness, and they didn't have any water to drink. Of course, as we'll see from these verses, they reacted badly to it. They grumbled, they complained, and they came very close to getting violent, even to the point of stoning Moses. But there's something interesting we can take away from this portion of Scripture, and we're going to be looking at that today. Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? You know, complaining generally isn't a good way to get things from God. That never works. So you would have think they would have figured that out by now. The children of Israel, they went through this a lot. They would grumble and complain, and they would get punished, and then they'd repent, and the Lord would bless them, and then they'd grumble and complain again. It was kind of a vicious cycle they were in. Verse 3, And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And that's another thing. They, you know, whenever they felt like they didn't have something they needed, they quickly forgot the bondage that they were in the land of Egypt. And, you know, they said, We were better off in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here? We're all going to die. And, of course, that was not to be the case. They just didn't have faith in God's sustaining power. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon a rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And the Lord was among them, and he was merciful unto them despite their grumbling and complaining. He gave them water to drink. But what's interesting is that the water came from this rock. And there's a wonderful parallel in Scripture to that, a further explanation of what happened. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, we're going to read a few verses there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Praise the Lord, Christ is our rock. And even today, we can still draw water from that rock, spiritual water. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. I would now like to go to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus is about to reveal something to a woman from Samaria who's drawing water at a well. Something wonderful, something we should all embrace. In John chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." So he was on his way to Galilee, and he was going to be passing through Samaria there. It tells us in verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." So Jesus, he'd been on a journey there, and he was tired, and he sat down to rest, and he asked for some water. And tells us in verse 8, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." So his disciples were all away. He was just Jesus by himself there. And this woman comes along. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." So the Jews of that time, they had a little prejudice, which Jesus did not. In fact, Jesus made numerous references to the Samaritans, but one thing we can really appreciate is the fact that Jesus is not a racist. He has no prejudice in any way. We're saved by grace, not by race. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh, yes, he was far greater than Jacob. Far, far greater than Jacob. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We all need that water. We all need that living water springing up into everlasting life. And it is available to each of us. Praise the Lord. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she still didn't quite understand what he was saying. He was talking about a spiritual water, one that can quench the thirsting of your soul. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. So that obviously stunned the woman that he would know that, but he was God, so he knew everything. Verse 19, The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our father is worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Things are a little different now. We don't need to go to a special place to worship God. We can worship him anywhere, and that's a good thing to do. Worship him throughout the day, every day. Just, you know, I often find myself almost constantly talking to the Lord these days, and I can't help but worship him. For he is worthy to be praised and worshipped. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. You know, some people, they can rouse up a spirit, but it might not be the right one. There are false spirits out there as well. So you need to worship in spirit and in truth. Verse 25, The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And she believed him, which is sort of a miracle in and of itself. Many people would not believe that, but she did, and I'm sure that was counted to her for righteousness later. And tells us in verse 27, And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So obviously his disciples were very surprised to see him talking with a Samaritan woman, but Jesus had no prejudice. He held nothing against Samaritans. He's willing to save all who call out to Him. Praise the Lord. And that's wonderful news for all of us. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, he hadn't actually told her everything he did that we know of, but it probably seemed that way to her. And she was marveling. It was, I'm sure, quite an experience for her. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? So they wondered about that. Had somebody given him food? What happened here? Maybe he ate while we were gone. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, that whereupon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sayings of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Praise the Lord. They were drawing water from that rock that Paul was speaking of in 1 Corinthians, our Savior, Jesus. Water still flows from that rock. It's only that water that can quench our souls. Praise the Lord. In parallel to that thought, I'd now like to go to Isaiah chapter 12. Of course, we know that the entire book of God is wonderful, and there are many beautiful passages of Scripture, but Isaiah chapter 12 is definitely one of my all-time favorites. In my opinion, Isaiah chapter 12 is one of the most beautiful portions of Scripture in the whole Bible. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. We draw that water from our rock. We draw that water from Jesus. The wells of salvation is that living water that Jesus spoke of to the Samaritan woman. And that is what Isaiah is prophesying of here. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. In the midst of thee, praise the Lord.
Oh, precious Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Great is the Holy One of Israel. And of course, he was speaking of Jesus in this chapter. Our rock. Of course, there are other aspects to God being our rock, to Jesus Christ being our rock. We can draw that living water from the rock, but the rock can also destroy. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, going down to verse 23, it tells us, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things." That was kind of a customary thing back in those days. If someone asked you a question, you were allowed to ask them a question before they would answer you. In verse 25, we see the question that Jesus asked of them. "The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men?" And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say, from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say, of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." So they were in a bit of a bind there. They didn't know how to answer that question without getting into trouble. It tells us in verse 27, "And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." Now he's going to tell them a couple of parables. Verse 28, it tells us, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not." So on the one hand, he has two sons, and he says to the first one, go and work in the vineyard. And he says, I'm not going to do that. But later he repented, he changed his mind, and he went. And the second one, what he did was far worse. He said he would go, and he did not. He was not obedient. Verse 31, "Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Now these were he's speaking to the religious elite of that time, and I'm sure this upset them greatly. He told them, you know, the publicans and the harlots, they're better off than you, because they had the good sense to actually believe what John had said, and they did not believe him. Verse 33, and here's another parable that Jesus is speaking of. "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Isn't that terrible? Of course, this parable, what this was referencing, were the prophets sent to the children of Israel, and they killed those prophets. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. So you have a little conspiracy going there. They say, well, here's the son, let's kill him, then we get everything. And they were plotting and planning, and they were up to no good. It tells us in verse 39, and they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind them to powder. So this stone that Jesus is speaking of, it has the power to grind the wicked to powder. We're all far better off falling on it, being broken, repenting before God so that he can put us back together again the right way, cleanse us, purify us, wash us in his saving blood. We need to fall on that rock. We need to fall on that stone. For those who don't fall on that rock, the rock will fall on them, and it will grind them to powder. Verse 45, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. So now they figured out what he was talking about. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. They were upset. They wanted to lay their hands on him. They probably wanted to kill him at that point, but it wasn't time for that yet. And they were afraid because of the multitude, so they left him alone. But as we can see from this portion of Scripture, our rock, not only does it have that life-giving, saving, living water, but will also grind the enemies of God to powder. To further cement that point, I'd like to go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, going down to verse 31, laying out the situation of what was happened here. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. He'd forgotten his dream, and he had asked his wise men to come and interpret the dream, and they couldn't do it. And because, you know, he couldn't remember it, they told him, well, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation thereof. But, you know, he couldn't remember it, and I'm sure that's happened to all of us. We've had dreams where we just can't remember what it was. So that was the situation there. And, of course, we know that King Nebuchadnezzar was angered greatly that the wise men could not interpret his dream, and he was going to kill them all. And that included Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Even though they weren't astrologers like the other wise men, they were included in the decree to be killed because they were considered wise men. But the Lord was merciful unto Daniel and his friends, and he revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to them. And in Daniel chapter 2, at verse 31, Daniel is about to tell King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream had been and what it means. He was going to tell him the dream and then he was going to interpret it. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. So there again we have a stone. And what this statue represented were all the world empires, starting with the Babylonian, all the way through the Roman Empire, and then the empire of iron and clay is what we have today. There's no stability in it. But they are trying to put together a one-world government. And what this tells us is that there's a stone that comes along and it destroys those empires. And that stone is Jesus Christ. I'll read verse 34 again. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a great king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And that's what we have today. We have a kingdom that's rising up, but it seems very strong, but there's weakness in it. It's partly broken. Verse 43, And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It's that rock, that stone in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. That stone is going to destroy all of their efforts to set up a one-world government. They will ultimately fail in all of their endeavors. For it is God who is truly in control. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So, what we see from these scriptures is that our rock, yes, it has the power to save those who call out to God, those who drink from that living water, those who fall upon that rock in repentance. But the rock is also going to destroy the evildoers. And that rock is going to destroy all the wicked kingdoms of this world. But God is our rock. We need to trust in our rock. In that rock we find strength and stability and great power. I'd like now to go to Psalm 62. I guess they're not really chapters, they're psalms. So, Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. That is what will become of those who do not fall on the rock, but the rock falls upon them. Verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. We only have one rock. We only have one source of salvation. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Our rock is our strength. Our rock is our refuge. Praise the Lord. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to pour out your heart before God. And trust Him at all times. There are people in this world who will probably disappoint you at some time or another, but our rock will never disappoint you if you put your trust in Him. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And there's some good advice there that many people tend to not follow. If the Lord does choose to bless you with riches, don't set your heart upon them. You never want to love your money or your wealth or whatever you may have, whatever your possessions may be. That's all only temporary anyway. We want something eternal rather than worldly. Verse 11, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Praise the Lord. God is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our refuge and our strength. And it is through Him that we have power to overcome the world. In closing, I'd like to go to one last portion of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, going down to verse 24, it tells us, this is Jesus speaking, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Folks, we are going to be facing storms in this life. The floods are going to rise. There's going to be problems, because that's the nature of a sinful world. But if your foundation is built on Jesus, our rock, when those rains come and those floods rise and the winds blow, you will be sustained. You will not fall. We need Jesus to be the foundation of our very lives, for He is our rock. He is the rock of our salvation. Praise the Lord. With that, I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for Thy mercy. We thank Thee for Thy grace. We thank Thee that we can rely on Thee as our rock. We thank Thee that we know Thy rock has both the power to save and the power to destroy. We ask that Thy word would sink down deeply into our hearts, O God, that Thou would move upon each and every one of us and inspire us. Inspire us to build the foundation of our lives upon You, the rock of our salvation. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I guess we can sing a chorus. Number 78, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, you're dismissed unto prayer.